KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 9:01, we have partly cloudy to cloudy skies, 63 degrees in Atlantic. Looking forward to be partly cloudy here today with a high of 75. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. A train derailment in west central Iowa has been blamed on a broken axle. Union Pacific says a loaded coal train headed to Illinois sustained the brake around 6:15 p.m. Monday and two cars derailed. The cars were put back on the tracks by early Tuesday morning. About 600 rail ties were damaged in the accident and must be replaced. There were no injuries reported. The annual Operation T-Bone cattle sale was held yesterday morning at the Anita Livestock Auction as 337 head of fat cattle changed hands. Anita Livestock owner Bernard Weiss, said the market was good with prices ranging from 110 to 113.5 per hundredweight. Anderson Farms of Audubon sold 42 head, averaging 1,333 pounds for the top price of $113.50 per hundredweight. And Bill McGuire of Audubon sold 7 head, averaging 1,389 pounds, also at that top price. Nebraska Beef, Tyson, Cargill, and National Beef were the buyers. Operation T-Bone is an annual event started in 1951, focusing on the importance of the beef industry to Audubon County. The Missouri River flowed out of its banks in record fashion in June. As it starts to go back into the main channel, the Iowa Department of Natural Resources will ease some of the fishing regulations along the river. Southwest Iowa Fisheries Supervisor Chris Larson says that mud and debris isn't the only thing that's flowed into the flooded areas.
Well, there's going to be a lot of water bodies that are left behind that got scoured out with the flooding that weren't normally there before the Missouri River crested this historic flood. And most likely, those shallow areas, there'll be some fish left behind, and those water bodies will dry up. And so we thought if we give people an opportunity to harvest some of those fish instead of letting them just dry in the sun.
Larson says some of the fish who have been swimming in the new territory will get a surprise.
Most of the species will return to the river, but there'll be some left behind. They'll wait just a little too long, and then the waters will get too shallow to get back to the river, and they'll be isolated in these pools that are left out in the fields and along road ditches and places like that.
The DNR found several large fish trapped in holes washed out in the Sailorville area after the flooding in that area occurred in 2008. Larson expects similar stories as the Missouri recedes.
I expect there's going to be some big fish left behind. I think a little bit depends on the size of the water body and the depth. Some of the deeper holes, the fish probably won't realize that the water levels are getting shallow because it's 10 or 15 feet deep, and they'll hang around there a little bit too long.
The relaxed rules will begin on August 15th, but you'll still need a fishing license, and you must get permission to fish any private land. Larson says there are some other rules, too.
But the important thing is these waters need to be waters that will not be unlikely to be reconnected to the river under normal flows or even a little bit higher flows. And they need to be not in existence before the flood. So these got to be new water bodies, and if it's on public land, they need to be less than 5 feet in depth because we believe that waters deeper than that may overwinter those fish, and someday down the road, who knows how long, may be reconnected to the river sometime, and those fish can get back out.
He says on public lands, the waters have to be less than 5 feet in depth, or you need to leave the fish because there's a possibility the fish could get out again later. And there's one special fish you can't take.
The pallid sturgeon is an endangered species, and so they're protected under federal law. So we're asking that any sturgeon fish species that's captured in these isolated waters be returned to the river unharmed and as quickly as possible. Because they're such a rare and endangered fish, we really want to protect them. We're trying to do everything we can to bring the species back from the brink of extinction, and so any help we can get out there will certainly be appreciated.
And any number of fishing poles, jugs, or nets will be allowed. A Tabor man arrested Monday afternoon on a charge of disorderly conduct faces an additional charge of an assault on a corrections officer following an incident at the Montgomery County Jail. Sheriff's officials say 23-year-old Zachary Allen White allegedly assaulted a correctional officer as he was being processed on an original charge of disorderly conduct. White was taken into custody at around 2:30 p.m. one half mile west of Broadway Street on Old Highway 34. He was being held in Montgomery County Jail on $5,000 cash bond. Mason City police are investigating a shooting incident at a convenience store that left one man dead. Bob Fisher reports.
Police Chief Michael Ashbrook says in a statement that they were called to the Casey's General Store on North Federal around 5 o'clock Tuesday evening. On arrival, they discovered a person lying in the parking lot. Preliminary investigation indicates that the downed person had suffered from at least one gunshot wound and was transported to Mercy Medical Center North Iowa in Mason City, where the victim was later pronounced dead. The name of the victim is being withheld at this time, pending the notification of the next of kin. Additional information received by officers on the scene has led to the detention of one individual as a person of interest in the case. Ashbrook adds the investigation is still in the early stages and more information should be available later today.
And in an update on that story, Police Chief Michael Ashbrook says that they've arrested 31-year-old Jamal Leslie and charged him with first-degree murder. Leslie is accused by police of shooting 27-year-old Brandon Crawford after a brief argument near the Casey store at 813 North Federal Street in Mason City. Crawford was taken to Mercy Medical Center North, Iowa, where he was later pronounced dead. In addition to the murder charge against Leslie, police have filed charges against 24-year-old Winsdell Lamb and 46-year-old Danya Lee as being accessories after the fact, an aggravated misdemeanor. Lamb and Lee are alleged to have been involved in trying to withhold information related to the investigation. Both were taken into custody and are currently being held in the Cerro Gordo County Jail. Bring your family and friends to the Iowa State Fair in Des Moines, but officials say firearms are not welcome. Iowa State Patrol Captain Gary Newsma said that guns and knives are barred from the fair, regardless of whether someone has a state permit. The issue came up in several recent postings on the Rants and Raves section of the classified website Craigslist. Several of the messages mentioned the violence outside of the gates during the fair last year. Newsma said there will be signs at the fair gates warning people that firearms are forbidden, but officials aren't planning to use any metal detectors. Authorities say deaths from prescription painkillers have dramatically increased in Iowa over the past decade. At a meeting Tuesday of a task force assembled by the governor's Office of Drug Control Policy, officials were told there were at least 40 deaths from painkiller overdoses in 2009 compared with 3 in 2000. State leaders said the drugs have become easier to obtain. Also, some users see the painkillers as safer to use than illegal drugs. Mark Shouten is director of the Office of Drug Control Policy. He says the task force will be making recommendations to the governor and lawmakers. Shouten says dramatic policy changes are not needed, but that we, quote, may need to do some tweaking here and there to keep painkillers from being abused. And former Minnesota governor and Republican presidential hopeful Tim Pawlenty will make a stop in Atlantic this afternoon. Pawlenty, who's on a statewide bus tour in advance of Saturday's straw poll in Ames, is expected to appear at the Family Table restaurant at 12:30 p.m. Pawlenty says the message he'll convey at today's town hall meeting is that the country is in trouble.
Barack Obama's had his chance. It's not working, and we need a new direction and a new president. What I bring to the table is experience with results. And so I look in Minnesota, all the issues that we're facing as a country, cutting government spending, doing health care reform the right way, the need to appoint conservative justices, getting this economy moving again through cutting taxes and the like. I've done all of that and more, so I don't just deliver the speeches. I actually get these things done.
Pro-life activists were joined by Pawlenty Tuesday as they launched a bus tour promoting their conservative agenda. Outside of the Iowa Capitol yesterday, Pawlenty touted his record in support of abortion restrictions while governor of Minnesota. Speaking this morning with KJAN News, Pawlenty says he has an established record on the issue, so there's no need to wonder where he stands.
I'm strongly pro-life. I advanced the pro-life cause in historic ways in Minnesota, proposing and putting into law women's right to know, positive alternatives to abortion legislation, and much more. And in fact, abortions in my state are now at a historic low. We've had the 30-40% decreases in abortions in recent years. And the pro-life leadership in Minnesota indicates that my initiatives and leadership had a material role in getting those rates of abortions reduced in my state. So I'm very proud of that. We obviously have more work to do. I stand for a culture of life.
Some early polls have Texas Governor Rick Perry, who will not be participating in the Iowa straw poll, gaining momentum as a presidential hopeful, even though he's not officially announced his candidacy. Those same early polls don't list Pawlenty as a contender in the race. He says early polls are not a good predictor of the final outcome, and the Ames straw poll is a chance to show improvement in his standing and momentum heading into the caucuses.
The ultimate goal, of course, is not the Ames straw poll. That's important, but it's to win the caucuses next January and February. So we certainly will welcome Rick into the race. Every candidate has strengths and weaknesses. He's a friend. I respect him, but everybody's got to, you know, run the journey or run the race, and oftentimes things look different 6 and 12 months down the road than they do in the summer before the summer of the election.
Plenty says President Obama's poll numbers are way down and he can be beat and will be defeated. One of the key issues Plenty will address is how to get the economy moving again, and he says his campaign is ready and able to accomplish the task.
I've got the most specific, most pro-job, pro-growth economic plan of any candidate in the race. All the details are on my website at timpalenti.com, but the quick short version is cut business tax rates, get a pro-American rather than Middle Eastern energy policy, get the health care costs down by fixing the system the right way, to getting the economy moving again by making sure we have energy policy that is affordable and Americanized.
Well, speaking of the economy, stocks are falling at the start of trading today on Wall Street, with the Dow losing more than 300 points in the first few minutes alone. Attention is shifting back to the weakening economy. A statement from the Fed Reserve yesterday said growth has been considerably slower than expected. Still, there was a late-day rally yesterday after the Fed said it would keep its key interest rate at nearly zero for two more years. Right now, the Dow is down over 390 points. The S&P 500 is down nearly 40. The NASDAQ is down more than 80 points. The top commander in Afghanistan says international forces have killed the Taliban insurgents responsible for downing a U.S. helicopter and killing 38 U.S. and Afghan forces over the weekend. Marine Corps General John Allen told a Pentagon news conference today that forces learned where the insurgents had fled to and killed them in an early morning airstrike. And a pawn shop in northeastern Ohio says it sold a handgun last week to a man authorities say shot and killed seven people over the weekend before dying in a shootout with police. The owner of the pawn shop told the Akron Beacon Journal that nothing seemed unusual about Michael Hance when he came into the store 5 days before the rampage. In our funeral announcements this morning, 64-year-old Lola Mae Hendrickson of Clarinda died Saturday. Funeral services for Lola Mae Hendrickson will be today at 10:30 at the Eichemeyer Funeral Chapel in Clarinda. 64-year-old Axel Thomas Andreessen of West Des Moines and formerly of Menlo died Sunday. A funeral service tribute for Axel Andreessen will be tomorrow at 10 o'clock at the All Saints Catholic Church in Stewart. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has the arrangements. 28-year-old Stephen Lavis II of Des Moines and formerly of Guthrie Center died Thursday. Funeral services for Stephen Lavis II will be on Thursday at 1 o'clock at the Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center. 79-year-old Stan Ewalt of Manning died Monday. Funeral services for Stan Ewalt will be held on Friday at 11 a.m. at the Zion Lutheran Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has arrangements. 21-year-old Kayleen Amos of rural Cumberland died Tuesday in an auto accident. Funeral services for Kayleen Amos will be held on Saturday at 10:30 at the Central Church of Christ in Griswold, with the Dune Funeral Home of Griswold in charge of arrangements. And 76-year-old David Sears of Atlantic and formerly of Des Moines died Friday at Atlantic Nursing and Rehab Center. David Sears has donated his body to science for medical study. The services will take place after those studies are complete. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic is assisting the family. That is a check of our news and funeral announcements this morning here on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.